Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the Old Testament lesson from Micah chapter 5, which I'll read again for our hearing. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are little, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord given to us this day, and our theme, your newborn king. Please be seated. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I encourage you to keep your insert out and kind of follow along with me, for we will talk about each verse in order and the importance of this prophecy given to us by the prophet Micah. Dearest brother and sister in Christ Jesus, king. When you hear the word king, what comes to mind? You don't have to look very far, by the way. King. We think of a jewel-encrusted crown. Maybe, though, when you hear the word king, you think of a man wrapped in purple clothes or in purple robes. Maybe you think of a man who lives in a palace. With some kings, you may think of arrogance, of pride. With other kings, you may think of great ones. Today, Micah speaks of a coming king, a ruler for Israel. Micah. We don't hear much about Micah in the church. Micah is from Judah, born just south of Jerusalem. He is a contemporary. He was writing at the same time as Isaiah. And their prophecies concerning the coming king occurred 700 years before the events in Bethlehem Ephrathah. 700 years. You know, the United States isn't even close to being that age. And here they are writing about something that was going to take seven centuries to happen. In the north, there are also two major prophets. They're proclaiming God's word. Micah, Isaiah in the south. Up in the north, Hosea and Amos. Sometimes we hear of them in the church. Now, these four men, they are fiery preachers. They're proclaiming the law of God. And we know that the law is intended to crush us, to show us our sins, to show you and me that we cannot save ourselves, to proclaim to us that we have turned and rebelled towards God. And in our spiritual rebellion, we deserve one thing and one thing only: eternal condemnation. This is the message that these four men were proclaiming to Israel and to Judah. Yet, as we hear this day with our prophet Micah, he also speaks words of comfort. He speaks words of hope. He speaks words of mercy. He tells Israel that your ruler is coming. Your king, he is coming. This king, this ruler, he is from eternity. You see it there in verse 2. He is from eternity. He is Israel's ruler. Now, when we think of a ruler or a king, especially in Israel, what comes to mind? Well, we usually think of Jerusalem. But this king isn't born in Jerusalem. No. He's born in a little town called Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Less than 1,000 people. This king is born in a lowly little village. When we think of a king being born, we think of a king who would sleep in a golden crib. But not this king. He is laid in a wooden manger, a feeding trough. When we think of a king, especially a newborn king, we would think he would be wrapped in fine clothes, in purple cloth, that he, yes, sleep in a golden crib, but not this king. No, he is clothed and swaddled with strips of white linen. Yet this king, we hear, he will go forth from Bethlehem Ephrathah, for he, this king, is also born in the city of David. David, the great king of Israel. But the king that's about to be born will be greater than David. Bethlehem Ephrathah will be forever honored as the king's birthplace. Not the king David, but this king, the true ruler of Israel, the true ruler of the whole universe. Born in tiny Bethlehem Ephrathah. Bethlehem Ephrathah. Literally it means fruitful house of bread. The words are so true. For born in Bethlehem Ephrathah is the fruitful one, the very bread of life, Jesus Christ, the ruler of the universe. We are told that he is from old, from ancient times. The Hebrew word is Mikkadim. Mikkadim means he was, he is, and he always has been. He is the timeless one. He is from ageless eternity. He is the infinite one. As Jesus said, I am Mikkadim. He is God. He is the one who was and is and always will be. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He is God. Here this text tells us that the babe born in Bethlehem is the Ancient One, Yahweh. Yahweh Himself, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Yet the king will go forth from a virgin. He will be born of a woman. Therefore, he truly is the God-man. And his name? Well, we're told what his name is to be. His name is to be Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, there's more from Isaiah. Isaiah tells us in the 9th chapter that his name is to be Peleus, Wonderful Counselor. His name is to be El Gibor, Mighty God. Oh, his name is to be Abiad, Everlasting Father. And his name, this great king, well, he'll also be a prince, Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. For that's exactly what he comes to do, to win the peace for you and for me. The king, yes, will be born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin, there conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. For this one, he is God from everlasting to everlasting. His eternal qualities qualify him to complete this great work that is given to him. And that great work, my friend, is your salvation. That's why Jesus was born. He was born in tiny Bethlehem, the bread of life, born to give you life. And there, as he was laid in that wooden manger, eventually he would be nailed to a wooden cross. Yes, this man, this baby born, he is the God King. He is human, and he's also God, born of a virgin. The ruler will be God, and he will be a man. Israel, Judah, will go into captivity. We know that from history. Because the people turned away from God and they chose to follow those things of man. They rebelled against God. You know, my friend Solomon is so right. He tells us that under the sun there is nothing new. We see this open rebellion today. People turning away from the church, and when they turn away from the church, they are turning away from the babe born in Bethlehem. They are turning away from the bread of life. They are turning away from their king, from their God, the only one who can save them. They turn away because they think they can save themselves. And just like Israel and just like Judah, one day they too will go into captivity. But this captivity will be forever and ever in hell. We hear from our text, as you see, that she who is in labor has given birth. As Israel once owed its royal glory to the man called David, also born in Bethlehem, so the new Israel, the Israel of the New Testament, the Israel of God, the church, the firstborn of the church, written in heaven, owes all its glory to the child born of the Virgin, born at Bethlehem Ephrathah. A child whose going out is from of old, from everlasting to everlasting. O wondrous child of Bethlehem, he is the Savior, the very Lamb of God, who has taken away all your sin. Besides the children of Israel, though, there are others whom he will call. There are other brethren of the Messiah, according to the flesh. There is mentioned here another company. Brethren, not descendants of Abraham, but in faith, members of his church. Those who are baptized into the death of Christ. That is you and I, dear friend. The Gentiles. According to the prophecy that was made, they too would join Israel. And we together are his brethren, his brother and sister. He knows us. He knows us intimately because he has saved us. The ruler of Israel, the one who wears the royal crown today, he is not ashamed to call you brother or sister. He's not ashamed to say that you are his little lamb. What an honor, dear friend. What an honor to be acknowledged as the brother or sister of him whose goings forth are from old, from ancient days, from everlasting to everlasting, whose divine power has given to all of us life and godliness and exceeding great joy. By him you are made partakers of his divine name, being transformed into the image of God, your Creator, and of the Son, your blessed Redeemer. My dear friends, as we now turn to verse 4, we see something that we're quite familiar with. Here Micah speaks of the Shepherd King. His strength is that of the Lord, and as we have heard, his name is El Gibor, the mighty God. His strength is a strength that no man can resist, a strength tested to the utmost there at the battle of Golgotha, where in the midst of hell, he stood, your Shepherd King stood, unconquered, unconquerable. Though forsaken by his Father, Jesus did not forsake his Father, but held fast to him in divine strength by the power of his almighty love for his Father and for each and every one of you. 3 days later, your King, he stood victorious over sin, death, and the power of the devil. He came out of the grave, and he is the conqueror. He is the conqueror for you. He has defeated hell, not for himself, but for you. He has won the victory for you. That is your Shepherd King. Therefore, he is worthy of your honor and of your praise. Not only that, your Shepherd King stands. He does not lay down, neither does he slumber nor sleep. He is pictured here in our text as not sitting on his throne of glory. No, he stands with all the power of his royal majesty. Yes, he stands as your loving shepherd. And you, his sheep, he gently guides beside the still water. He leads you to pastures. He leads you to those lush pastures where you feed upon his body and you drink his blood for the forgiveness of all your sins. That's what this shepherd does. He watches you with eyes of love, never taking his eyes off of you, for he is always watching, always protecting, always guiding. He is always loving you. And there's nothing that can change that. And he says that you will dwell with him forever and ever. You will dwell securely. This is not a false security, dear friends. It's not like your health insurance. It's not like an old age pension. It's not like Social Security. All these will pass away. But the security that your Lord gives to you, and he gives to you freely, will last forever and ever. It's a guarantee sealed by his very blood, the very Lamb of God who has taken away all your sin. Yes, he guards his humble little flock. Here, present even now, is your shepherd king, clad in the royal robes of the strength of the Lord, vested with the imperial garments of the majesty of the name of the Lord, the omnipresent, the omnipotent, the omniscient, the eternal Jehovah. Such is your shepherd king, and there is none like him ever, nor will there ever be any like your shepherd king. Therefore, as we look at the very last verse of our text today, there, verse 5. My friends, this is so, so important for each and every one of you. This man shall be peace. Literally, in the Hebrew, the translation is, this one is peace. Your Messiah, your Savior, has won the peace for you. There's nothing in this life that can destroy the peace that Jesus has won for you. Oh yes, I know. I know so, so well the trials and tribulations and the heartaches that you suffer each and every day. I too have the same. I am not immune to temptation or to sin or to heartache or to pain. I know, my friend, I know. But your Savior has won the peace for you. At his birth, the angels declared, peace on earth. Peace had come to earth. And the nature of that peace is that which he brought to the world is reflected in his holy name, Yeshua. Remember, Gabriel told Mary and told Joseph that you are to give him the name of Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that's exactly what he has done for you, for you, for each and every one of you, and for me. Jesus bears the name that has saved all people. Your newborn king is the one whose blood cleanses you from all sin. And now we have peace with God. We have been reconciled to our Heavenly Father. We now live in peace. Your newborn king, my friends, he truly is your shepherd king who guides and leads you. He guides and leads you right to his very kingdom. You are no longer foreigners or strangers, but you are his children, adopted into his kingdom, made heirs of the kingdom of God by his mighty power. Yes, my friends, there on the cross, as you see here, when he proclaimed, Tetelestite, it is finished. Peace was won for you. And there's nothing above the earth, there's nothing on the earth, there's nothing below the earth that can snatch you from your good shepherd's arms. You are safe and secure forever and ever, at peace with him forever and ever. Therefore, we close with this very short sentence. In your newborn King, dearest ones in Christ Jesus, and for his sake, all your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise and listen closely. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.